I'm ready.
Truck over to Minnesota by then.
That's true.
I mean, it's 5 miles. How long is it going to take to truck a bunch of Queens?
I think we're ready to go back on the record. So if we could have everybody take your seats, please. Thank you very much. Generally, at this point in the proceedings, Mr. Voigt's counsel would be calling his next witness. However, it is 10 to 2, and we had indicated we would go to 3 today. And so we are going to take the presentation of evidence out of order. And at this time, I'm going to call for public testimony. The commission certainly values the input of the citizens, and we know that there are quite a number here who have probably traveled a ways to be here. And so we'd like to proceed with that. I have several names who have indicated that they would like to testify today. You'll recall we passed around a sign-up sheet, and several people have signed that. If you haven't had a chance to sign the sign-up sheet, let me know. But I will read off the individuals who had indicated that they would like to testify to see if they're still here, and they would like to do that. I'd also remind you that all public testimony is under oath. This is an administrative proceeding. And so I would certainly encourage you to take this opportunity to tell the commissioners anything that you think the commission should know about this matter, or anything that you may have to offer for the commissioner's decision. And I will call your name and ask if you would like to present testimony, and I'll have you come up and sit in the witness chair. And then I will administer the oath to you, remind you about the penalties for perjury in North Dakota, and then we will take your testimony. So I have before me the sign-up sheets. I have a Mr. Dean Moose who had indicated he may want to testify. Is Mr. Moose still in the room?
Dean Moose is with the staff, and he will probably testify at the end.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
That's all right. Scott Ressler? That's a no. Sarah, if I mispronounce your name, please forgive me. Flath? Are you with any of the parties, or are you independent?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Biela, I assume that she'll be testifying in your case in chief. Is that correct?
Yes, she will, Your Honor.
Thank you. Marty Reich?
She's left.
She has left. Okay. Keith Kessler?
Right here.
Mr. Kessler, would you like to offer your testimony?
Not right at the moment. Maybe later on.
Is there...
This
is the time that we're allowing right now for public testimony.
And we will at the very end, too. We'll be able to go up till 3 now, but at the very end of the hearing, we'll bring up more. We just wanted some of you to have things that maybe you can't do on Tuesday morning, so this is an hour we pulled aside to...
I don't know if it's so much testimony, but I could offer a couple comments, I guess.
Please have a seat.
Is that okay? Okay, ask the expert. I got it.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Kessler, before we begin, I just need to advise you, as I would advise any of the witnesses appearing before this body, about the penalties for perjury in North Dakota. The maximum penalty is a $10,000 fine, maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalties of perjury? Would you state your name for the record, please?
Keith Gustav Kessler.
And would you spell your last name?
A-E-S-S-L-E-R.
Thank you. You may begin your comments.
As far as the permit and all that, and I know Casey's testimony today, the only thing that I would like to throw in there, and I'm not directly related with the coal mine, but I've dealt with other utilities. And in relation to reclamation, soil compaction, stuff like that, I believe that production is one of Casey's key points here, definitely. Excuse me. Production should be after the reclamation or any process mining, whether it's any type of drilling, wind farms, whatever the utility is, that production should be the same after as it is before. That's a key topic. And water is also an issue. If there's abundant water before, there should be abundant water afterwards. It shouldn't be lopsided. It should be one for one. Everything should go hand in hand. And that's one thing that I would, my key point was there. Other than that, I don't really have a lot of points other than that. But and the other point is with utilities coming around with leases and promises, there's a lot of false promises out there. And I feel Casey's issues because we're dealing with kind of the same thing, and we have that. They make everything look like it's all flowers and roses, and at the end you got a lump of clay. And I don't think it's right. It's not fair to anybody, any landowner that has pride in their way of life should be treated with a little bit more respect.
Thank you. Mr. Kessler, I neglected to ask you to state your address for the record.
It's 6001 26th Street Southwest, Glen Allen, North Dakota.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Broughton, do you have any questions for the witness?
No, I don't.
Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Yes, the commissioners. Mr. Chrisman?
You mentioned personal comparable situations with utilities. Did it involve North American or other utilities?
Other utilities.
And you're in those situations, is it like lack of water or crop and grass production?
A lot of it's grass production, lack of respect with what they tell you up front what they're going to do and when they're going to do it and how they're going to do it. And then when they go after it, it's a total different situation.
Do you think the problems that you have are a result of, like, poor seeding, or does it have to do with compaction, or is it kind of a general area that you think is the crux of the problem?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay. And your own personal situations, were those utility situations like a mine or something where there's a bond and a waiting period, or was it more of, you know, like a power line or a telecommunications line getting dug through and the regrowth just without
There's
a bonded
not
situation?
Not necessarily a bond there. It's a lease and a easement type of situation.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk?
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. Kessler, for your testimony. Just to clarify, so if in the bond or if in our permit it said that you would take a very good sampling and reading of the crop production in the beginning, and they were held to make sure that crop production matched at the end, that's what you're talking about, correct?
A lot of it, yes.
Okay, and then the water piece, a good sampling of cubic feet in the beginning, and then making sure at the end you've got the same amount of cubic feet flowing through a region?
Well, it's hard to necessarily...
Because of groundwater, sure.
Is groundwater, springs, wells. I mean, after some of these situations, I know a lot of people that deal with reclaimed land, and they have issues with water. Okay. In a natural spring, how do you replace it?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you, Keith, for coming today and listening this morning and for the last couple hours as well. I share your belief that landowners should be treated with respect and held accountable to, and the companies need to be held accountable for that. And to the extent that we can enforce that here, we do. One of the reasons we have doubled down on efforts to inform the public in other ways through news releases and different types of notices, so people know ahead of time what their opportunities are for getting engaged, because it is a complicated legal process and it doesn't always catch people's eye. So to the extent you have ideas for improving that, I'd love to hear them moving forward. In terms of your comments on the production and the water, you know, our permits require that. It states it right in, you know, clear language that the production should be, equal. I think the issue is time periods. Do you have a sense for, as a landowner, what's a reasonable time period for achieving that kind of, you know, bringing the land back to the productive, the same production level as it was prior to, in this instance, mining?
I don't know if there is a key number to that, and I wouldn't know that because I'm a rancher. I mean, that's what I do. But I don't know if there is a key number there where you can put, you know, 4, 5, 10 years on there. I don't know that number. Mm-hmm. But I know some of the instances with some of the other utilities, they think in they'll pay it for 2 years, loss of production. Well, you go in and destroy native grasses, 2 years, you don't even have a good reseeding germination probably rate at that point. So that I can't put a number on it if you're asking for that.
Yeah.
Takes several years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't have any other questions for you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. The next name that I have is a Lincoln Reinhiller. Mr. Reinhiller, would you like to take a seat up front?
Like bingo, huh?
Mr. Reinhiller, were you present when I advised the witnesses about the penalties for perjury in North Dakota?
I think maybe I heard, you know, if I was here right away when this started and you said something, I'll have to say that I was present.
Okay.
Knowing what you said, though, I probably didn't have the volume turned up.
Fair enough. Well, I will repeat that. Over,
okay.
All right. The penalties for perjury in North Dakota are a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum $10,000 fine, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both.
I heard that.
Okay. Very good.
Just following up on that, the other day, headlines in the Bismarck Tribune, Link pleads not guilty, but fortunately, they had a picture of the person. So I will now use my full name, Lincoln.
Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalties of perjury?
To the best of my ability,
Thank you. Would you state your full name and tell us where you live?
Okay. Lincoln Reinhiller, and of course, my land is not associated with the project that's going on. But I do have land that was 6 feet apart from a coal mine that Westmoreland has. And I'll just speak about my experience with them several years ago and another experience that we had 30-some years ago dealing with a utility company. And this story here, too, many years ago, I was testifying, and this fellow by the name of Leo Reinbolt was on the commission. And, you know, when I was introduced, he says, well, are you that fellow that was that star running back at Dickinson State, the old Savages? Well, you know, I took the oath saying that I would tell the truth, and I couldn't say anything but yes. Okay, number one, in my situation, and I think it would be something for landowners would be helpful to be aware of, although you might not be involved in the mining operation, but you would have land that is right next to a mining operation. And if knowing some of the responsibilities that that mine has for people that do not have leases with them. In our case, we had pasture land and we were having water problems, more dust coming up than moisture. And I wanted to know what we could do to get that, you know, get some water coming into our pasture so those cows would feel happy. So I did make a call to that ornery guy, Mr. Deutsch, talked to him first, and Jim explained to me the obligations that mining companies do have, whether it's on their land or land that they've leased or on neighboring land. And Jim, you know, said that, and then we went out and looked at the situation. And, you know, we could see that that the mining operation with their to protect, say, us and keep water from running all over the place, you know, they had holding ponds. And so saying, yes, we can get, it's our obligation to get water into your pasture. So we came up with a deal that they would get water into our pasture. I had two choices. Number one, I could go and find out where the water was. I got that ability also. And or the other thing is going with a pipeline. And, you know, so we got that installed. And Westmoreland, or at the time, we got an agreement made, and they did furnish, we got the water there. So I'm much more happy today. Well, we had a good deal going. But the key to that was to approach the Public Service Commission first rather than going to the coal mine and pounding on the table, because they again said through with Jim there said they explained to me their obligation and went over it with the mining people, and so the deal was done. The other thing, working with leases. Now I know that with coal leases it can be a whole different story, but again 30 some years ago. We had this power line that went from the Coyote Station south of Beulah over to the station at Center. And when us landowners became aware of that, we got together and organized. And I have to give MDU credit. When they heard that landowners were organizing, they said, when you guys get your ideas together, let us know and we'll talk about it. And there were like 42 landowners in this operation. And we, us landowners met and organized and went over our ideas. And when we got, and we also then, the other thing that you needed to do was to hire an attorney to represent you. Because then that attorney does the bargaining, we give him the ideas. And so we got together and went over what we were looking for. Number one, when we started to talk, we told the MDU people they were talking about the easement of having a power line, two power lines about 100 yards apart. Us landowners said, you know, if this looking at protecting yourself from weather problems, 100 yards isn't going to make that much difference. You know, you're right. Then the other thing we said, you know, we're not used to looking at those steel towers. Do you think we can use the wood poles? Yeah. And then the last thing, and probably the most important thing of that agreement, as landowners of the 42 of us, 36 of us said, how about an annual payment on the lease? And there were six, say, older landowners, you know, that wanted their money up front. So we got a deal made where the in that utility line of the running from south of Beulah to Center, 36 of us landowners are getting an annual payment. And that started in 1978. How is the value of the yearly payment made? Each year, you've got your Ag Statistics Service that does survey of land values. That's one part of the formula. The other part is looking at the PCA, or production, that used to be Federal Land Bank. What is their interest rate that they are charging on long-term loans every year? That's the other part of the formula. So using that and the land values, your payment is adjusted every year. And, you know, I know with the what my point here is when you and right now, yeah, the leases are pretty well signed and so on, but in the future or when you've got something else coming up, if landowners become aware of something like this is going on, to try to get together amongst themselves and talk about what they would be looking for. And then as a group, you're talking to the industry. And, you know, it evens out the bargaining power.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If you'll wait just a moment, Mr. Reinhiller, if you'll wait just a moment, there might be questions for you. We'll see.
Okay. You want more stories?
Enough. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Mr. Broughton, any questions for the witness?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
No.
And the commissioners? Mr. Chris?
I do not.
Commissioner Call?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Fedorchek?
Thanks for being here and providing some levity, too.
Thank you very much.
Of course, that fellow way over there was just about this high when...
and only this wide.
I can go now?
Yes,
you can. Okay, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, you can. Beverly Peterson? Yes, thank you. Ms. Peterson, did you hear me talk to the other witnesses about the penalties for perjury in North Dakota?
I did, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll try and be brief, more brief than Link was.
Just before we begin, would you state your name for the record?
Sure.
Please?
Beverly Peterson, 3959 7th Street, Southwest, Washburn.
And would you spell Peterson for
us? Sure. Peterson.
Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May begin.
I'll be brief. I know you guys are busy and tired, but this might be my only chance to let you know that this reclamation problem isn't just in Casey's neighborhood, but it's also across the river on the east side of the river. We have Falkirk mining surrounding us and doing some strong arm tactics to more or less get us out of the area. It's easier for them to buy us out, and they try to do this land swap with us too. And then they'll come back later on and do things like that. But I just want to let you know that it's not just Casey's area, even though it's very pertinent. It's a widespread, horrible reclamation ruse that we're under. That what these mines are doing is wonderful, because if it were, they would be coming out of bond release. A Falkirk encapsulates, as you know, thousands of acres. 100 acres has been come out of bond release. That's got to tell you something is not working. The other point I'd like to make while I have a minute is the fact that kids like Leah and Lane are suffering from something my grandparents signed off. And I know they're still alive. And I think if I had enough money, I would get a court case in a court of law to say they were misled, just like we're being misled and you're being misled into thinking that reclamation is actually working. I have graduate degrees in horticulture and agronomy. I can guarantee you I'm not a specialist in this. People like Casey and all these men that farm and ranch, that is not hearsay. That's the truth. They are the experts in this. They can tell you it is not working. The soil is not the way it was, the way God made it. Can it be? I think it can. Do I want to get rid of the coal mines? No, they're my neighbors. They provide jobs for my relatives. But they have misled and they have lied and cheated their way out of my land. My grandparents would say they were told the same thing. You'll never see the day when you will mine your land. Well, guess what? It's here. It's now. And why should those kids have to stay under that lease, under that guise that it's going to all be okay and great, what they're going to get left of the land? The soil is not being treated carefully or properly. And I've tried my best to do this through Deutsch and, excuse me, Mr. Deutsch, and through the PSC, and it falls on deaf ears. I think they're just as hand-tied as we are as to what to do. So I think this is an incredible opportunity for us to make a change in our programs. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Broughton, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeff-Kotsacko?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. Commissioners?
I suppose I could ask any of numerous people this, but you mention signing a lease but being told that they'll never mine it.
Right.
Why do you suppose they would pay you if they didn't?
Well, when you're hungry and you haven't got food and you need to feed your children, any money looks really good. And that's what they did. They hit us at a time in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and said, you're going to get some free money here. You just have to sign it and don't ever have to worry about it ever coming into to compilation. It's not going to happen. You'll be okay. They really trusted. They thought they were dealing with honest people. And maybe those land people did believe that it would never come to fruition, but it did. And now our kids are suffering because of that. My kids want a farm. They want a ranch. Where are you going to get this land? They aren't in the swapping business. So what are we supposed to do?
So your land leases that you're talking about, and when you were assured that it wouldn't be mined, was like 30s and 40s era?
Right.
Okay.
But some of those people that were told that are still alive, and they would be able to testify to the fact that they did not have proper representation, and they were lied to, obviously, because now those leases are coming into permitting processes. So was it fair? No. Is it legal? Yeah, it is.
Thank you for being here.
You bet.
Commissioner Call.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Beverly, for waiting here today and testifying. Just a couple of thoughts and maybe share your perspective on it. You're concerned about making sure the land is productive before it comes back out of bond release. That's why a lot of times the bond release, I think we've done a good job of getting land back into production, but we don't do that until the standards are where they were when they started. So it's a good program. But I will share the same concern you have, that there's a lot of things that happen with pipelines or power lines that are non-jurisdictional to us, or maybe the standards aren't there. So as a state, we're still trying to leverage as much as we can to improve the reclamation standards on everything. But I guess the question to get to is, once you take apart native grassland, that's kind of the end of it, though, getting it back to native grasslands. That's just kind of the way it is. Or do you think it can get back that way?
I always had a problem with these guys that would show up from North America and Falkirk, and this is a little different than Casey's situation, but where they would say, it's going to be great. I grew up on a farm. You're going to like this reclaimed land. It's going to be okay. Well, they're not making their living at farming and ranching like we are. And so they can get by with those statements saying it's better because they haven't had to pick the rocks after it's supposedly farmable. We're still picking rocks. We're still dealing with pools of water in every field that's reclaimed. There's a lot of things that they're not doing to get it, even okay. Obviously, it's not even reaching their standards. So my point, I guess, to address you, Mr. Kalk, is that I think it's time for a change in those standards in measuring how our soil is composed and how it should be farmed. Because obviously, they're miners. They're not farmers. They right. Do the best that their bosses tell them.
That's your ask, I guess, is you probably have the testimony we're going to hear on next Tuesday about what specifically the recommendation from the experts, you agree with what they're going to present?
I think so. From what Casey has stated just today, because I haven't talked to him about it beforehand, but it sounds very positive. From a biological point of view rather than a chemical point of view, I agree.
Thank you.
You bet.
Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't have any questions. Thank you for being here, Beverly.
Thanks for your time.
Oh, if you'll wait just a minute, okay. I believe Commissioner Christman has a question for you.
Your response to Commissioner Kalk reminded me of something. You said there's less than 100 acres at Falkirk that's been bond released.
Right.
And you have some land some of that is yours, where you're continuing to pick rocks and have excess water?
It has nothing to do with that 100 acres that's coming out. That has come out back to public sale. That's up by the Underwood area, and that was land I think that the mine didn't even want to mine. So that's why it came out of bond releases, because it never got mined. What we have is we're in a position where they're trying to buy us out. They're trying to buy our land. We've already lost some or sold some, however you want to look at it. And so they let us farm some of the land that they're trying to reach bond release on. We're allowed to hay it, crop it, and we continue to pick rocks on it. We continue to tell them about sinkholes. We tell them about the compaction problems. I would say on a monthly basis, we remind them, hey, you got a sinkhole here. Oh, by the way, our combine almost fell in that hole over there. You don't give us approaches. You don't give us anything but crossing guards for things like that. So, yeah, I would say yes. We are continually dealing with reclamation processes.
But if someone wants to find the positive in the reclamation program,
okay,
might you say that the fact that you're still unhappy with it at this point, that there's settling or excess rocks or excess pooling or whatever the issue is, the fact that we haven't bond released it, wouldn't that suggest that, you know, that's part of why we haven't bond released it, because it's not to where it needs to be?
Absolutely.
So that part seems like it's kind of working, doesn't it?
Oh, I would say it's not working at all.
Yeah, on the one hand, we want the land almost bond released immediately, but on the other hand...
Yeah, but see, if it got out of bond release, then let us farm it so we can maybe get it back to where it should be. Let it come back to us. The miners don't know what they're doing. The reclamation miner guys are just wanting it to get out of their hands, but they can't because it's not reaching the standards necessary.
Last question. If we bond release it, do you see how then we can no longer leverage the mine to do things that we want them to?
Yes.
If we bond release it?
I see your point. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the commissioners?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Is there anybody else that wants to provide public testimony? Please come up. Sir, would you tell us your name?
My name is Daniel Nyroer, Dodge, North Dakota.
Would you spell your last name for us?
Neurohr.
And were you in the room when I advised
Yes.
about the penalties for perjury?
Yes.
All right. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. You may begin.
Yes, I am an active coal miner. Been doing it for 40 years. Spent 20 years on a drag line, but I've been in the reclamation end of it for 20 years now. And that's what I'm currently doing. And sometimes you have to, how would I say it, put a little extra effort into it to make things better, because at the mine I work at, which is Dakota Westmoreland, they even tell us, when you're reclamating it, do it like you own it, like you want it to be if you owned it. So we try. And what Casey's point is on the production end of it, we try and do things, and it takes a little bit extra effort. Does it cost more? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But we do... How would I want to say this? Put the extra effort into it right away. You know, and I heard about bond release and it get it back to where the original production was. If the topsoil and subsoil is already put back in and you don't get the original production anymore, you're not going to get it. The harm's already been done. Either you do it right away or you're not going to get what you want. That's what I'm saying. But I do know that with subsidence and all that, there was about 30 acres out there this spring. I went over it again, called the trucks in, they brought me the dirt, I run a GPS in my dozer, fixed it all up. Some of it was 3 and 5 foot subsidence. Come back a month later, same thing. Not quite as bad. Had to go over that area 3 times to make it decent. So you're always going to have subsidence, but you're going to have to deal with it right away. And like I said, if you don't do it right the first time, you're not going to get the second chance. Once the subsoil and topsoil is put back on, that's it. And as for their farming it, how would I say it? I don't know what they're going to do to the soil to make it better. I really don't. But if you don't do it right the first time, it's not going to be. That's my estimation anyway.
Thank you very much. Mr. Broughton, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeff-Kotsacko?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Christman?
Not a question, but I don't get to dodge much anymore, so I just have to say this. About 25 or 30 years ago, I had a business dealing with your dad, and he was just one of the all-time classic fun individuals to work with. I still think of him often. A good man.
No.
Commissioner Calk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you very much for your testimony, sir. You've worked the soils out there for many years, and thank you for your work with the company. Westmoreland's a good company. The work that you've done, I mean, the soil structure out there, it's a lot different than the valley, obviously. That's why it's ranch land instead of farmland. Is some of it just that we've got a tough soil mix out there that once you bust it up, it's really hard to do anything with it? That's why it's grazing land. Is that some of the challenges you deal with?
No, I guess our challenges that we deal with is different soil types. There's so many different types of soil. And then...
So you can't, when you put it back together, it's the different horizons that lay out. You have to, it's hard to get it exactly the way it was.
Yes and no. What we do a lot of times, because a lot of times the overburden is too thick for our drag line, we pre-strip with trucks and shovels. And what we pre-strip right off the top, we'd make an effort to put that right above the overburden that's been already leveled. So it's just like you're putting down, say, 10 foot of subsoil. Because a lot of that land between the subsoil and the next 20 feet, they're pretty much the same dirt. So if we make the effort to put that on top, which we do, it seems to help.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Yeah, just one question, since you've got so much experience mining yourself. Can you offer your perspective? We've heard multiple times today about the concern that there's so much land that hasn't been bond released, and then and that being an indication that the reclamation isn't working. So share your perspectives on that. How do those two tie together?
Well,
and what's the answer to that?
The way I understand the law reads that it has to be equal or better production. Is that correct?
Yep, there's standards for that they have to meet to release the land from bond.
Well, to me, that tells me that they don't even want to try and make the production records available or have them, in which they probably have, because they can't meet the standards. That's what it tells me. Is that what you're trying to ask me?
Yeah, so the lack of the bond release is indication that the reclamation isn't working. But surely the answer to that isn't to bond release it early.
No, it's not the answer to bond release. No, not to early release it, no.
Your solution would be what in your company?
Well, I guess I don't know how much my company has released, but I'm assuming that they released quite a bit of it from bond because a lot of it's being farmed. Local farmers are cutting hay off of it because it's all in the hay ground. I know Casey farms some of it or hays some of it. But what you're asking...
Your reclamation standards are this, you're meeting the same standards that the other companies are. The standards are the same for everybody. So... Do you believe that there needs to be a wholesale redevelopment of the reclamation process?
I think it could be tweaked, yes. I really do, because, you know, a lot of things that I do, and I know the other crews do it too, that we try and go over and above board what it calls for, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make the final product as good as possible. So we take pride in it, you know, and a lot of us are landowners that work at that mine too, so.
Mm-hmm.
And as for what to do to improve it, to get it for Ron, that I can't honestly tell you, because once it's got topsoil and subsoil put back on, it's pretty hard to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for being here and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for your testimony.
Yep.
Is there anybody else who would like to offer testimony? All right, thank you. I know, Mr. Broughton, we've got about 25 minutes left, and I know you released your witness. Is that correct?
I did, yes.
All right. Is there anything further that we want to discuss before we adjourn for today? I know we talked about going until 3 o'clock. Mr. Broughton has several expert witnesses to present. Our intent at this point is to proceed on Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning. And that's December 23rd, if my calendar is correct. So, Mr. Broughton, is there anything that we need to address before we adjourn just for today?
I don't know that we need to address it before we adjourn, but I know Commissioner Kalk had mentioned the idea of finding an additional day, and maybe that's something the attorneys should do before we leave today. Other than that, no.
Thank you. Mr. Biela, anything to address?
I think that would be it, Your Honor.
Okay. And Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
That's the issue, but commissioner schedules are right up there with, you know, the attorneys. So if they have dates, optional dates before the attorneys talk, we could get them.
All right. I would ask the commissioners for any comments, that anything we need to address before we adjourn today. Commissioner Chrisman?
Well, based on the fact, you know, always one of the big things that's hard to predict in setting these hearing times is how much public testimony there's going to be. Assuming that there probably won't be a lot of public testimony that will come on Tuesday or a subsequent day, has anything changed now? The fact that after day one we'll have public testimony probably completely finished, do we still believe we need two more days, or might Tuesday be sufficient?
I would ask counsel, Mr. Broughton.
I'll be as specific as I can. I think that my direct of the experts I'm putting on could go 2 to 3 hours. I don't know how long cross-examination would go, or mine of them, or how many witnesses the others are putting on. I'll let them speak to that. I would just add the caveat that I thought my first witness today was going to go a half an hour. So.
I appreciate that. We never quite know how it's going to work out. But Mr. Biela, any thoughts on scheduling?
Well, potentially, if we get through his witnesses in 3 hours, you're talking just direct up for 3 hours? Or?
Yeah.
Well, then it's going to be tough. Do you know, Your Honor, you had expressed that you have to leave. Do you know what?
I do. I'm scheduled to leave the state. I should be out of here by 3 o'clock on Tuesday.
Third day.
So.
We also have constraints at 3 o'clock with other meetings. We have one we're going to do later today, too, just the way the schedule's bowed.
So, unfortunately, at least with regard to my schedule, if we cannot finish on Tuesday, we will need another day.
I guess if Derek's going to take 3 weeks, excuse me, 3 hours, for just for his witnesses, on direct.
2 to 3, just to be clear.
2 to 3, okay. I don't anticipate our cross of them is going to be extensive. Maybe done in three with his. We have three witnesses. The first two will be quite short. I don't know about cross, but you know, probably just an hour and a half to 2 hours, hour and a half for to present our cases on direct. It's going to be really tight.
Sure. Your Honor, it sounds like we better plan another day, and if we get done, if we don't need it, fine, but it sounds like we better plan one.
I think it would be most expeditious if we come on Tuesday with the intent to try to finish, and if not, please have some dates available and identified so that we know where to go from there. Okay. Does that sound all right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything further from counsel we need to take care of then?
No, Your Honor.
No?
No, Your Honor.
And the commissioners? Commissioner Christman? All right, then it's just about 2:35, and we'll stand adjourned until Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning.
Alana, can you make sure that's noticed on our calendars? I didn't see it.